I'm Jonathan, by the way, if you don't know me, one of the pastors here, and excited to share about prayer as we kind of continue on this morning. And so as we do, I just want to kind of keep setting the context of what we believe prayer is, because I think there's a lot of varying ideas about what prayer is or what it should be. But just a basic thing is that prayer isn't about, it's about, all right? Prayer is about an enduring, continuing, growing love relationship with the great God of the universe. Prayer is relationship, right, with God. And without prayer, you could say there is no relationship, because that's how God chooses to be in relationship with us, is by asking us to pray and promising that he will hear. And so prayer with God and your relationship with God as a disciple of Jesus is like conversation in a friendship, right? So if you have friendship, now I know there's introverts in the room, there's people who don't talk very much, right? So, but you still talk, right? With someone that you want to have an intimate relationship with, you want to share, you want to talk, and you want to listen, you want to share life. Prayer is an invitation. It's not just relationship, it's an invitation to knowing the heart of Jesus. Jesus says, this is how you'll know my heart, is by praying, and he teaches his disciples how to pray. And I think we just have to say that prayer is central. It's the center of the Christian life. Without it, everything Jesus has called us to do is actually impossible. And that's why I think there are so many frustrated Christians, because there's so many Christians who have never learned how to pray. And so they're trying to perform the life of Jesus. They're trying to obey while removing the central aspect of relationship with Jesus, prayer. And so as you learn to pray, relationship with Jesus becomes what he says it can be, which is, he says, my burden is easy. My burden's light. The yoke is easy. And you hear that and you're going like, wait, what's easy about loving your enemies and about dying to self and about giving away your stuff? And he's like, no. Like, as you pray, as you learn to commune with me, as you abide in me, all that fruit will come out of you. You'll bear it. You don't have to produce it. You don't even have to work very hard. But I know that as we talk about prayer, that can sound like a lot of work. I know some of you are like, man, that just sounds, it sounds hard. It sounds like work. And I think this is a key misunderstanding for us, that prayer, when practiced rightly, understood rightly, is like coffee with your best friend, right? When your best friend invites you to go have coffee, you're not like, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't know. You know, it's a lot of words. It's a lot of, you know, it's just like, you're like, no, that sounds awesome. When? Let's say you get your calendar out and you're like, let's do it, right? And you kind of move from like laughter to tears to nods of understanding to words of comfort to sharing stories. And that's how prayer is presented, I think, in the life of Jesus, is Jesus has an actual relationship with a loving Father that he communes and has conversation with. And prayer is the place where we hear the voice of love, right, that comes from the Spirit of God. So many of us, Trent talked about it today during worship, we have these other voices in our head that are playing tapes that are saying things about us and about our life and about our past, right, and about who we are in our core. And a lot of times we have a hard time battling that stuff because we're trying to battle it just in our flesh. We're just kind of like trying to tell it to be quiet. You're trying to think on other things. But what happens when you pray is, if you really enter into prayer and you get to that place with God where you're communing with him, is you start to hear the voice of the Spirit inside of you speaking your true identity, right? It's trying to tell you about yourself, who you are in Christ, and that voice begins to drown out the other voice. And pretty soon, if you spend enough time in prayer, you spend enough time in communion with the Father, you'll actually believe that. What he said about you in that secret place, like, you'll actually believe it and you'll live out of it. And then when you hear the voice of something else, you'll know right away, like, I know that's not who I am. It's not who I am in Christ. I was a sinner, right? Like, I was a sinner, but now I'm actually, Jesus says I'm a saint. I'm pure. I'm holy. I'm set apart. I'm a co-laborer in the kingdom. He's actually chosen me as a partner in his work in the world, this incredible thing. And so we're focusing on prayer not because we're commanded to do so, but because we're a community of people who want to live in the abundance that Jesus promised us, right? We're a community who reads the scripture, and we read about the potential and the possibility of what could happen when we abide in Christ, when we walk with him, when we obey his commands, and we say, look at the abundance that's promised, and we want to live in that. And so to live in that, we have to pray. It's found in and through prayer. And So as we start again this morning, I'm just going to keep saying this quote from Richard Foster. I think it's so important. It's like, real prayer comes not from gritting your teeth, but from falling in love. Real prayer comes not from gritting your teeth, not from trying harder, not from being more disciplined, but falling in love with Jesus, right? Leads you to prayer because there, when you're in love, right? If you think about, if you're married in here, like you remember your dating story when you're like, there just weren't enough words to say and you stayed up till 3 a.m. talking on the phone. If you're like me and you're 40, you remember when the phone was actually attached to something, right? And you had to figure out how far can the phone go? And that's where you end up sitting for hours. And it might be like in the kitchen on a stool or something like that. Or maybe you like got a fancy long cord. Anybody have one of those cords that could like wrap around your whole house? And you're like, follow it, like where, like who's got the phone? You know, it's like, and it's always my sister's got the phone. Can't call my girlfriend, she's always on the stupid phone. But you know, it's like this thing, it's like when you fall in love, you're not like, oh man, more time. You're just, you're desperate for that time. You're desperate to know every detail. And I've told this before, but one of my good friends, Lance, who's in Vancouver and he's a pastor, he said this about his wife, and he said, after all these years, I'm still curious about her. I thought that was the most beautiful statement from a husband to a wife to say, after all these years, I'm still curious about you, because I don't even begin to believe that I know everything about you, that I've mined every depth of your heart and soul, and like, but I'm still curious. I want to know more. Isn't that cool? Like, that's how it should be with Jesus. So prayer is like a child who climbs in the lap of a loving parent and stays there long enough to be embraced, have their identity spoken over them, talk about their joys and sorrows, talk about their dreams and desires, and then to be sent off with kind of a kiss of blessing, sent off to play and run, and they'll come back. And that's kind of this idea is prayer is like us getting up in the morning and knowing we have a loving Father and climbing up in his lap and just spending some time with him before he sends us off in our day. And in the evening, many times we come back with whatever happened that day, either in joy to say, it's like, this is the greatest day, or in like, this is a really hard day, this is a rough one. And we kind of go through that again. And so here's what Paul says in Philippians. He says, the Lord is at hand. This is so key. So prayer begins with the faith that God is at hand. He's available. He's right there waiting, willing and ready to meet you when you come in prayer. The Lord is at hand, so don't be anxious about anything. And let me just tell you, this command here, when we think about it like a command, it can seem heavy. I want you to think about this statement, do not be anxious, not as a command, but as an invitation. It's an invitation out of anxiety and fear to say, don't be anxious. You don't have to be anxious about anything, because actually, I've got all of this covered. Even in the worst of circumstances, you can live beyond fear. But so don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, that's a key statement, in every single thing in your life. There's no area of your life, there's no minute detail that shouldn't be covered by prayer, that shouldn't be accessible in your prayer life. As you speak to God, as you listen to God, as you read the word, every part of your life God cares about, right? He cares about it. In everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So today we're going to talk about, last week we talked about the prayer of adoration. Today we're going to talk about prayer of petition, about making your requests known to God, that God actually wants to meet you and hear your requests. He wants to hear what you need, and he wants to act on your behalf. So petition is when we're asking something for ourselves. You've heard the term probably in church, intercession. Intercession is when you're asking on behalf of someone else. And we'll go to that next week. But the first step is asking for what you need. And so I think what we have to be careful is there's a sense that maybe as you progress in your Christian walk, that maybe you should get to the point where you stop bothering God with your requests. Has anybody ever heard something like that? Like, don't just do the grocery. And I know there's a thing of you're just getting what you need from God, but there is a thing that somehow you're going to graduate out of request. And there's nothing in the scriptures that ever says there's ever a time when you pray that you shouldn't bring your request to God, right? Can you imagine having a close relationship with someone, with a friend or a spouse or a parent, and they sit down and say, hey, I just want to let you know our relationship has progressed. And because of this, we have such a great intimacy, I just don't want you to ask me for anything anymore, because that would just be like a lower form of relationship. No, as the relationship progresses, actually, you know what happens? The requests get bigger. right? As God meets small requests, and as you grow in relationship, you start going like, man, God cares about that small thing. Maybe he cares about something bigger. Maybe I can actually ask God for the moon. And who knows? The possibility is endless in request with God. And the point is that God actually desires it. But here's the secret. The secret is this, is that God never wants you to progress past dependence on him. Petition, if you're going to petition God, if you're going to make a request, you actually have to take the position of helplessness. Right? You have to say, God, I'm asking you for this. And this is interesting. Even for things that you could attain by yourself, God actually wants you to come and ask him to be involved. Because whether you know it or not, Dewey said, whether you know it or not, God is involved in your daily bread. Right? And so to ask for your daily bread is actually to remind yourself that daily bread comes from God. Right? Even if you've got the means to go out and get it yourself. But when we make a request, we admit our helplessness to sustain our lives apart from him. Jesus is teaching us in this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. He's teaching us to remind ourselves that even the most basic of provisions come from God. And this is hard for us because we live in a day and age that you flip a switch and lights come on, right? You punch in 20 seconds on a microwave and food gets hot. Think about, like, if you had leftovers, you know, well, there was no leftovers, right? But, like, let's say you had to reheat something. You're like, I got to build a fire to, like, reheat my food from last night. Like, I mean, it's just like there's nothing easy. And so you would be reminded every day. And so we went camping this summer with 5 kids, which I don't really recommend. yeah, it was crazy. So two twin babies who did not want to sleep in a super cold tent at, you know, 11,000 feet. So they screamed for 2 hours. And then we have the genius idea. We'll move them into the car, put them in the car seats. They'll be strapped in. And the car will create a bubble of sound barrier. So we know, because we're at a campground, right? We're not in the wilderness. There's people all around. And it's 10:30 at night. It's stumbling in the dark. iPhone. I put them in the car, and then I set the alarm off on the car. I mean, you know how loud a car horn is in the mountains with no sound? It's like, bah, 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 bah. And I don't know this car. I'm like trying in the dark to figure out how to turn it. Anyways, but we went camping. And when you go camping, you're so appreciative of things like electricity and things like a gas stove because you're doing all these things yourself. You're realizing how hard it is to provide basic needs. And God actually wants us to be reminded that he's set all these things in motion for us. Jesus in Matthew 7, he says this. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And I think sometimes we suffer not from a lack of God's response, but we suffer from a lack of asking. Right? There's things that we don't ask. And if you need to, you might need to go back to the first message in this series where we talked about the struggle in prayer, the struggle in disappointment. When we have asked and God didn't answer, or he didn't answer the way we asked, right? And so I realize that's a real thing, and you may have stopped asking because of disappointment or because of anger or because of something else, but I want to encourage you to lean back in to trusting God again to ask. So I think in some ways what you could say is that a lack of request toward God actually indicates a life that's being lived independently of God. Right? And if your life begins to be lived independently of God, you're not living as a disciple, you're living as a religious person, right? You've got all the trappings. Paul says they've got a form of godliness, but they've denied the power, right? And where's that power come from? The power comes from prayer. So prayerlessness actually is a life of independence apart from God, saying, God, you just be God, punch my ticket to heaven. I'll perform the things you want me to. I'll go to church every once in a while. I'll give some money, but the rest of my life is mine. But you can't find anywhere in the scriptures where God offers you that life. The only offer is come to me, die to yourself, right? Give me everything and I'll give you everything I have. We'll trade and take on my life. That's the offer. And so literally this prayer of request is actually like the most basic form of prayer. And so petition, then, it's not a lower form, it's actually like our staple diet. Petition's like meat and potatoes, right? It's like this thing that should always be a part of it. Now, I'm not saying it should be the only part. If your only relationship with God is requests, then obviously we need to grow. Last week we talked about starting in adoration, and then I think we move to request. And so petition, like I said earlier, it's like childlike dependence on a parent. And just like any good parent, God's attentive and he's ready to give. So he moves on in Matthew 7. He says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Right? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Right? Like any good, loving parent would never do that to their kid. Like that wouldn't be a funny joke. Do they ask for bread and they give him a stone? Like that, you're like, it's like, but listen, I love that he says, if you then who are evil, I love just the soda. He's just, Jesus is so upfront. If you think you've been offended by somebody, if you hung out with Jesus for a while, he would just offend you. Like he's like, if you, you're evil, right? And he was like, right? And everyone's like, yeah, we're evil. That's right. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, who's not evil, who's good, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now here's kind of a key. There's a caveat there. It's like any good parent knows that your children are going to make lots of requests for you, some of them legitimate and some of them not legitimate. And sometimes they'll make a request for you that you won't answer in the way they ask, but you still answer, right? So if they come and they ask you for gummy bears for breakfast, your answer is probably no, but then you give them something else, right? You would give them, you know, eggs or fruit or in our house, waffles or pancakes. I know we're terrible parents. But like, you know what I mean? Like you would give them something. You would actually fulfill the spirit of their request while maybe denying part of their request that you know as the adult in the room isn't actually good for them, right? And it's fascinating. I was just thinking about this morning, how God, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful, that means when you make a request of God, when you ask something, God sees every possibility played out of where your life could go if he answers this request, right? And then he considers. This is what I believe. Like, and you may say, I don't believe that. That's fine. We can disagree. Right? But it's like, if he sees every like possibility, then he's considering what would happen if I gave you this request. And you may not know that sometimes God's actually saving you from something by denying one of your requests or fulfilling it in a way that you don't understand or can't even see, that maybe 5 or 6 years down the road, you're like, oh, I finally get it. Why God worked the way he did. I thought my life was supposed to go this way, and actually, he took me that way, and it's so good. But the key is, he says, ask and you shall, what? Receive. So it's interesting that God says he guarantees that you will receive something if you ask. He doesn't guarantee what you will receive, right? Because he cares about you. He cares about who you are, where you're going. So back to Philippians, the Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So a few things that maybe we might consider like problems, like what about this? You know, I think that like we live in the age of pushback. Anybody ever notice that? That I wonder where that phrase started. Can anybody remember when that phrase like became part of it? Let me just push back a little bit, right? It's like the kind way of saying I really disagree. And I say it all the time, and I'm like, I don't know where that came from. But anyways, so I know there's some pushback. There might be some pushback on this request thing, right? So like one is this thing you might hear is like, why should we ask God for something that he already knows that we need it? He already knows that we need it. Why should we waste our time maybe speaking it, or does God actually get exhausted with our request? And maybe he's like, hey, listen, I know that you need that, don't ask. But again, I think if we continually go to the word of God and to the life of Jesus as our instruction and prayer, you never actually find in the Bible God saying, I know what you need, so don't ask. It does say the Father already knows what you need before you ask, but it doesn't tell you not to ask. Isn't that interesting? So the most straightforward answer, I think, is simply that the scripture proves that God likes to be asked, right? Because he's a loving father, he actually wants to be honored with the ask, right? He wants to be involved. He wants to be engaged. And it's interesting. Any empty nesters in here? Anybody? Raise your hand. There's like three. We're a very young church. Quasi empty nesters, sort of, almost launched. Yeah, so happy. But everybody I've talked to is an empty nester. Is like there hits this phase where they're like, you know what? I missed being asked. Like, I miss being needed by my children. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're, like, not in that phase yet. You're like, oh, they're still around, like, asking. But like, there's this sense of like, yeah, I like being asked like to do something helpful for someone I love. That's not you know, I mean, it's like this thing of God loves that. And I've used this quote in the last few weeks, but it's by a guy named P.T. Forsyth. He says, "Love loves to be told what it knows already." I love this quote. "Love loves to be told what it knows already. It wants to be asked for what it longs to give." God longs to give you these good things, but he also, because he loves you, he loves being asked. He loves that relational interchange, right? And an assumption of a gift actually breeds something else, right? It breeds a kind of a strange relationship, which we would call entitlement. Entitlement is the assumption that the gift is going to be given, so I don't have to ask or put anything into that relationship because I deserve the thing that I asked for. Right? So a healthy relationship would continue to ask and honor the giver, right? With the ask and with the gratitude that comes after the ask. Remember, Jesus talks about the 10 lepers, the one who came back and thanked him. Jesus was like, that guy gets it, right? The other walked off and just kind of took their gift. So love loves to be asked. God wants to be asked. The second is, why should I bother God with the petty details of my life, right? When there's bigger issues at stake in the world, you're like, how do I go from watching, you know, the news, reading about some bombing somewhere or a crisis in the world to asking God to help me find my keys because I'm losing my mind, right? Like how do we move? And in this age, and this is why I would encourage you to spend as much time as possible off of the internet, off of news sites, because if not, your life is not meant to actually range that big of a pendulum swing in seconds, right? I mean, it's just like, I don't think human beings were meant to contain all of that stuff in one, just like in a 30-second thing. Like, it's just hard, right? So I think in some ways that makes us think that maybe God, we're bothering God or we're weighing him down. But here's, the scripture says, it's clear that God's interested in every part of our life, in everything. So Annie and I were at the church I grew up in one time. I was preaching there, and this little old lady got up, and she was, it's Sunday nights, which is testimony night, and she gets up and she's like, "Oh, I just love the Lord." She's probably 85 years old, but she said, "I had this ring that my daughter gave me and I couldn't find it." And she was like, "It wasn't a valuable ring, it wasn't worth a lot of money, but it was really important to me. I couldn't find it. I was so upset. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed, and I found it this morning. And I just, thank you, God." She's like, "Thank you, God, for answering my prayer." And it was just interesting because it had been a long time since I'd sat in one of those rooms with those kind of people who pray about everything and give testimony, like speak about it. And it was just so good for my soul because like the skeptic of me wanted to say, you just found your ring. Like, I don't know that God answered that prayer, right? Like, did anybody else have that part of you that wants to start like chasing that rabbit trail? And then it was like the Holy Spirit just convicted me. And he's like, "You have such little faith that you're not praying about the small things anymore," right? He's like, I care about everything in your life. I want to know, I want to be intimately involved in every detail, in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that lady had joy. She had real joy because she knew that God cares about even the small things. There's nothing too small to be presented to God. So the last is, what about unanswered prayer? And again, we kind of covered this in the first week, so I'd encourage you to go just kind of listen to that message to get a bigger treatment of that. But I think we have to remind ourselves, too, that like we don't petition God just to get what we want. I mean, it starts there. It starts by bringing our requests to him, but actually it's to build a relationship with God, one. The second thing is, when you request from God, you actually bring your request under his authority. Isn't that interesting? Like he gets to choose and decide. And that's why a lot of times we don't bring our request to him, is because we don't want to actually let go of control of the fulfillment of the request. So we spend most of our time trying to fulfill it on our own rather than asking God. But we bring our request under his authority, and then we receive from him what he says we need, right? And what we need in that moment might be discipline. It might actually be correction. It might actually be a yellow light instead of a green. And he's just saying, wait. And you're like, man, that's worse than no. Like, right? Like, wait? Because now I just don't know. We find many times, like Jesus in the garden, our prayer moves, when we bring our requests, our prayer moves from "God grant me" to "if it's your will." Let your will be done, God. We can literally track that movement as we bring our request in. God, this is what I need. This is what I desire. Will you give this to me? And we finish our prayer saying, God, I will trust you no matter what you do. Because I love you, right? So how do we do this? What does this look like? Just a few like really practical things. First, your petition. Like when you go and make a request of God, it should be specific. Like you should make your request as specific as possible to God. And that may sound like, again, like, and when I say specific, I don't mean like, God, I want the person who talks to me to have two buttons unbuttoned. And, you know, like, I'm not saying like that level. I'm saying specific in terms of exactly what you need or desire. Like you should make your request known to God that if you desire that or you need that, you would say like, God, this is what I need. And so the difference is like, God, bless me financially. To God, we need $147 to pay this bill. Like that's a specific request. God, would you meet this need, right? So we need to be specific. So Andrew Murray says this. He says, let your prayer be so definite that you can say as you leave the prayer closet, I know what I've asked from the Father and I expect an answer, right? I expect an answer. It may be green light, yellow light, red light. It may be yes, it may be no, or it might be wait. But I know what I've asked him for. I haven't asked him for a general blessing over my life. I have asked him for this thing. I've asked him for a promotion at my work, for this specific job. This is the job I desire. I think it'd be great at. I'm like, God, will you give this to me? And I think sometimes you're like, well, that sounds really selfish. It's like, oh, well, if that's your heart desire, pray it and then let God answer. God, my child is struggling. I want you to change this aspect of their life or their personality or their health or whatever it is, like where you're just presenting your request as purely and as specifically as possible. God, this is what I need. And that the greater the intensity of our desire for blessing, and I don't mean that word gets, I mean, prosperity gospel, I don't know all that stuff, but I think you know that that's not what we're about. So I hope I can use the word blessing without triggering all that. The greater the intensity of our desire for a blessing, the greater the difficulty to blot the desire from our minds. The greater we desire it, so it's gonna, as we desire something, it's gonna get played out in prayer, and then we submit it. That's why I say, so we surrender it to God. But the question is, as this specific thing is like, what do you want God to do? Right? So if you've ever had a meeting with somebody. So if you've done like fundraising or you need to do that, you know that like going to someone and asking them for money for a project can be like one of the most awkward things you can do. But one of the worst things you can do is go into somebody and get a meeting and not ask for what you need. To ask for less or to not make it specific enough to where you walk away and they're going like, I don't even know what you need because you forgot to make the ask. Like if you're like, we're doing a village for orphans in Africa and we need $100,000, you should walk in the office and say like, we're building an orphanage. Like we need $100,000. That's what we need. So just like leave it vague. So God, he actually wants to know the specific thing. So what do you want God to do? What do you need? What do you want? Be specific. The second is it should be sufficient, right? So like I just said, it's like, it should be sufficient for your need, not less than what you want or need. You don't have to like, go under with God. Like Paul says, like God can do more than you could ever ask or imagine. There's no roof on the possibility of what God can do. So most of the time we suffer from a lack of imagination and belief in God's power and his provision, right? And so God's saying like, come and ask, man. Ask for whatever you want. And so here's the thing. If you ask for here and you get here, that's still pretty good. But if you ask for here and God's like, okay, I gave it to you. And you're like, well, that was okay. Maybe I should have. Like, you ever get a yes too quickly? Right? So Amy's dad always said that. It's like, if you go to sell your house and you sell it in like a day, you're probably not asking. It's like, you got a quick yes. Then you're like, man, did I make a bad deal? Like, they seem pretty excited about that. Like, you know, you got to go back. So like, don't ask for less than what you want or need. And I love advice says, analyze the problem from every angle. So it's interesting, like even to like, there's a petition that you rush and you just cry out to God, and then there's a petition that you need to actually sit down and think about. Analyze it from every angle and then ask God for something specific and literally like place it before. It's like you're carrying your request to the king and you're putting it there. Nehemiah says, I want to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he goes and he thinks about it. It's like, how should I approach this? And he takes it to the king and he makes his request. Says this, more specific and complete the petition, the more faith is generated when we bring it to God. Right? So Jesus says, your faith is such a hinge part of prayer. So your petition should be specific, but it should be sufficient. The last should be like, it should be sincere. And this sounds weird. It's like, well, of course it's sincere. You're making that request. But there can be a point where it's like, it's almost because we start to think about asking God for something and we start to waver in our belief. Like, does God really care? Is he really listening? Am I wasting my time? Like, and so our requests like start to go down in terms of like, well, God, you know, if it's your will, if you really want to, if you're not too busy, have you ever gotten a request in life like that where you're just we're friends. Like, it's okay to ask me for something. You know, if somebody like asks you for something and they like make it super weird and you're just like, hey, like, it's okay. I think growing up as a pastor's kid, we were just constantly in need. So you, like, when you're in need, you ask someone to help, and it wasn't, you just get used to being okay with people like providing stuff for you, because you're like, we don't have food. You have some. Could we have some? Like, you're like, they just, like, it is specific, it's sufficient, and you're just like, it's really sincere, right? It's like this thing of like, you want to go and you ask and you seek and you knock, right, with the right spirit. I love this, an unknown preacher expressed, we are to ask with a beggar's humility, to seek with a servant's carefulness, and to knock with the confidence of a friend. Love that. It's like, it's this thing. It's like we actually go and we confidently express, really sincerely, not flippantly, not like, God, if it's your will, not qualifying prayer. We don't need a qualified prayer. We just need to present our request to God and trust him, right? And then finally, it's just like there should be a simplicity, right? Jesus said this. He says, you know, the pagans think that they impress God with their many words. He's like, not so with you guys. He's like, you should keep your prayer simple. Now, there's times where you're just going to be begging God for something, and you might use a lot of words, but there's other times where you just need to make a clear request to God, and you need to leave it, right? And that's part of the process of faith, is like, God, I asked. So I had a professor in Bible college. He said, so much of prayer is actually unbelief being practiced every day. He's like, because we've asked God, and we're waiting on an answer, and then we don't trust him to, like, leave him with the process. And so there's two sides to that coin, I get it. So Jesus kind of says, like, trust God. And then he says, like, the persistent widow is the one who won the day. So I know there's, like, feels contradictory. But there should be a moment, I think, where you would know, like, I've been praying, I've been asking God, either I need to continue and press in or I need to let it go. And I need to trust God that he's going to answer in his timing with what he wants. And I feel like I can trust him. And this is the other thing. I think a lot of us have heard prayers mostly prayed by pastors and people who are professional prayers, and we think that some kind of eloquence is required to get God's attention, right? It's like got to be a theologically powerful prayer, and we've got to, like, oh, God, you got to use these big words. And it's just like, I think the simplicity of prayer is really important. Like, the expression of it needs to be in the simplest terms, from like that, the childlike place in us. I'm going to invite the band back up, and we're gonna close out this morning. And like I said, we want to practice each week this idea of prayer, and because I think we would regret it if we didn't both hear about prayer and teach on prayer and then practice it together. So this morning, I want to ask: is there something you need? Right? Is there something you need from God? Is there something in your life? And it could be anything. It could be financial. It could be spiritual. It could be emotional. It could be about your family. It could be about a relationship. It could be an inner thing or something outside of yourself. Like, it could be about your job. It could be about your children. It could be about healing in your life. What is it that you need from God? And I specifically want to really encourage you today. Was like, what is something that you need that you've been hesitating to ask? You've just been like, I just don't know. That's one. What is it you need? What is it that you want? Right? It's okay to have desires. God never says to limit your desires. He says to align your desires with his, right? So your desires need to be purified. But at that point, Our friend Andy Crouch said it in this meeting I was in. He said, once your life gets aligned with Christ, it would be impossible for you to be too ambitious. He's like, literally, like once your life is aligned with him, like your prayers would expand exponentially at that point because you're praying aligned with his kingdom and his will and his love for people. So then you're actually like, that needs to expand. So what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What is it that you want? And be specific. And that this morning, I just want to create space as we sing for you to present your request to God. And there, it's interesting because we have altars here. A lot of churches have done away with altars. I love that we bought an old church that had them. So we didn't have to make the choice. It was great. But there's something about an altar. And it's interesting because I know there's kind of maybe a sense that's like, well, if you go to the altar, everybody's looking, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's, but there's something about the approach of coming to an altar and making a request. There's something about both the nature of coming out of the community and approaching. There's something about the kneeling, right? And there's something about the more formal idea of like bringing a request to God, say, God, this is what I'm asking, and like putting it on the altar. And literally like petitioning him, asking him for what you need. If you need healing in your marriage, if you need something, like whatever it is, like it's like to be specific and to ask. And so this morning, what I want to do is I just want to open these altars as they sing this song, and nobody's going to come bother you. This is literally just a time for you to come and present your request to God. And you don't have to come here. You can stay in your seat. But here's what I know. There's something powerful about a physical movement. I don't know what it is, like, but I know that almost all prayer in the scripture is joined by some kind of physical. It says, lift holy hands in prayer. It says to bow down before God. It says to clap in praise to the Lord. I mean, it's like this thing about your body matters and getting out of your seat and kind of approaching. And so I just know that when I've taken something to the altar and I've like put myself there, it's powerful, even though I can't really explain what it is. So I just want to encourage you to maybe do that. Maybe it's the first time you've ever done that and it feels super weird, but I just know there's something about that that matters. So I want you to stand to your feet and I want to pray for us. And Trent's going to lead us in the song, and the song is literally breakthrough. It's like, so it's like there's a chance this morning for us to have a breakthrough in prayer, for you to ask God for something. And in the last 3 or 4 weeks, like I said, we've had so many answered prayers. Even in the moment that we prayed it, the prayer got answered like 4 minutes after we prayed it. It's the craziest thing. So there's something happening in our church with prayer that I think there's possibility, availability. God says his eyes are here. So let's just read some scriptures. I want you to close your eyes and just listen to this. Psalm 6:9, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord hears my prayer. 1 Samuel, for this boy I pray. This woman prayed for a child. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. Psalm 81, you called in trouble and I rescued you. This is God speaking to you. You called in trouble and I rescued you. I answered you in the hiding place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah. Nehemiah 9, therefore you delivered them into the hand of their oppressors who oppressed them. But when they cried to you in the time of their distress, you heard from heaven. And according to your great compassion, you gave them deliverers who delivered them from the hand of their oppressors. Psalm 66, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Psalm 34, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Psalm 31, as for me, I set an alarm. I'm cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Psalm 116, because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him for as long as I live. I'll never stop making requests to God. 2 Kings, then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, said to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard you. Isaiah 38, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. God to answer their prayer so specifically. It's crazy. Acts 10:31, Peter says to Cornelius, he says, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. They're like a memorial to God. God has heard and seen. Psalm 21, he asked life of you. You gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. 1 Peter 3, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Love this. 1 Kings, we said it earlier, of Solomon, it says, the Lord, it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Hebrews 5 says of Jesus, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one, listen to this, to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard. Psalm 21, you have given him his heart's desire and you have not withheld the request of his lips. So this morning, God's eyes and his ears are attentive to this place. His presence is here, so he's just waiting for you to make a request. So God, we just give you this time as we sing and we worship, Lord. We want to be people who are dependent on you. We're helpless without you, God. Even for our daily provision, we realize that your spirit that sustains us. So this morning, God, and this people, I pray if there's anyone here who has desperate need that would bring it to you, God, and I pray that you would answer. And I pray that that answer would bring such joy to our church that it would just create an upswell of more and more and more prayer, God, communion with you, abiding in you, trusting you for everything that we need. So Lord, would you meet us here this morning? Would you hear the prayers of your people this morning? And would you act? In Jesus' name, amen. So you can come if you want to pray at the altar. Like I said, nobody will bother you, anything like that. You just bring your request. If you want, you can pray in your seat. Trent's going to lead us, and then we'll kind of close in prayer.